of a cannon.
Welcome to Winning Starts on Monday with Andrew Moore.
And he puts on the Superman cape again.
Welcome to episode 11 of Winning Starts on Monday. I'm Andrew Moore and it's great to be with you as we start a new week. It was a crazy weekend, wasn't it? A player set off for the first time since 2015. Four players sin-binned in the same game. At least one player sin-binned in all eight games across round 11. Two of them came back 1 minute and 41 seconds early. A fractured eye socket for Dylan Walker. A broken jaw for Corbin Sims. Many other injuries. Cronulla scored its fifth win in a row. Manly scored its second big win in as many weeks, crushing Melbourne. We have a top four of St George, Illawarra, Penrith, the Warriors and Souths. Bottom place Parramatta release problem child Kenny Edwards. North Sydney go against the wishes of its big brother Souths by signing Todd Carney in the New South Wales Cup. Kalen Ponga shows his magic again. A lack of discipline costs Canberra again. An 80th minute penalty gives Souths a win over North Queensland. Dylan Napa penalised and sin bin for leading with his head, but not charged by the match review committee. What have I missed? Crazy stuff, and I think that basically takes care of weekend weirdness. My producer of not only this podcast, but of our rugby league coverage on ABC Grandstand is Ralph Tucker. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Andrew.
Did I get it all in?
I think so. Gee, it was busy.
Oh. Well, look, we start this podcast every week by looking at our highlights from the weekend. The best thing I saw across the round was that 180-metre try that Kalen Ponga scored for Newcastle in the loss to the Gold Coast. What a great talent. Great head on his shoulders. The movement was started by Ken Seo and Ponga did the rest for 90 metres. Now, you couldn't beat the Melbourne Manly game for drama, but what was your highlight or highlights?
Well, I think there's many highlights to pick from. I think that Matt Duffy try, and we'll speak to him later, was just sensational in Mudgee. 50-metre effort after he'd made a couple of mistakes earlier in the game. He's a real talent on the rise.
What's your take on essentially a two-week suspension for Curtis Scott? I think that's ridiculously low, to be perfectly honest.
I would have thought 3 or 4.
Yeah.
The fact that he accrues, I guess, discount points for...
A reduction of points for every minute he was off the field. It's ridiculous.
Ludicrous. I think 3 or 4 was about par for that particular incident, given the fact that Dylan Walker is out for 6.
How about the Sharks? They're just quietly going on a 5-game winning streak.
Without Luke Lewis, without Wade Graham, for the most part, without Paul Gallen, without Josh Dugan, Shane Flanagan has got those guys aiming up for a team that you kind of look at when you're there at games and they look nonplussed. They look like a team that is never in charge of any games, yet they keep winning.
Well, Penrith, you could nearly say the same about them
100%.
At times. All right, to some of the audio to come out of the weekend. New South Wales State of Origin coach Brad Fittler confirmed he does have some concerns about the defence of James Maloney.
Yeah, I've been open about it every time I'm talking about it in commentary. It's just, you know, you need to just work with the people around you. So I know he's been doing work on it, and most surely it's something that he's had a few different people to defend with. I think he's had Corey Harrower and Naira at one stage in the centres and in the back row. He's had Isaiah Yeo there. Dean Farrow hasn't been there for the whole season. So he's had plenty of different people around him. So, but he's one of our senior players, so it's something he's most surely got to improve.
Trent Robinson, the Sydney Roosters coach, was filthy on the decision to penalise and sin bin Dylan Napa in Friday night's loss to Brisbane.
Yeah, it was the wrong call. It's pretty simply. Obviously a call from the bunker, which is really disappointing. You know, I've watched it quite a bit there, and Corbin, you know, Dylan's about to make a left shoulder tackle. Corbin sees that he's going to make that left shoulder tackle. He's about to run into his left shoulder, so he steps off the right and rolls out, and he contacts the back of Dylan Napa's head. You know, it happens in our game, and it's unfortunate for Corbin, but it's not a penalty and it's not a sin bin. It's just it's a horrible call. You know, I expect us to do better, but you can't make those errors if you've got multiple replays. You know, there's obviously a prior issue there. If they've made that call thinking he intentionally led with the head, they've just got it wrong. He stepped off the right, rolled into the head of Dylan. Dylan looked sideways. He wasn't even looking. He was looking sideways. So they've called that he intentionally went to knock him out with his head. It's just wrong.
Gold Coast Titans and Queensland forward Jared Wallace, who last week signed a new 4-year deal with the club, told us of the drawn-out process in coming to that decision.
It was a long, drawn-out process. You know, I went through about six to eight weeks, and I know the club got a bit frustrated with how long it went, but, you know, for me, this deal, you know, was probably the most important deal I've ever had to do. Even, you know, when I left the Broncos, I thought that would have been the hardest one, but, you know, this one will carry me on for 4 years into the back end of my career, so I had a lot of things to factor into it, like, you know, my family, I've got two little girls that I had to think about. My partner, Court, she's got a huge career in Brisbane on the Gold Coast that she's set up. So I had to make sure that we had all the right factors and, you know, going into this deal, make sure we had our heads clear and make sure that we thought about everything. So I'm glad that we've, you know, that it's all done now, because it was affecting me a little bit. You know, there was a lot of rumours going through the paper that were just, you know, they were absurd about, you know, things that I wasn't really happy with. But, you know, obviously that's the paper. But, mate, I'm just stoked that I get to stay here for another 4 years and, you know, get to play out some good footy.
And newly retired Penrith prop Tim Brown ends his career after playing 100-plus NRL games. And he spoke of how he came to that decision.
You're competing every day with each other. You've always got someone pushing for your spot. So there's not a sort of day you can clock off. And, you know, for myself over the years, I suppose I've found what works for me. And I think with a lot of my injuries, I sort of got excited about the fact that I could reinvent myself and come back something that no one's ever seen, and that sort of gave me hope, I suppose. But yeah, when this one happened a couple of weeks ago, I just don't think I could do it anymore.
And here's what the NRL had to say about all of the controversy from the weekend. Oh, that's right. No one from the NRL decided to speak publicly about anything. I guess the days of transparency were short-lived. All right, let's go.
The Weekend Wrap.
Yes, plenty to discuss from the weekend, that's for sure. Former Manly and international halfback Johnny Gibbs was at the game in Mudgee on Sunday with Grandstand Rugby League. And as we record this, is on the drive back to Sydney. Hey, Gibbsy.
Hello, Andrew.
How's the car trip with the great Corbin Middlemass, mate?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. He's been doing a couple of AFL interviews, and he reckons Richmond's, they're done like it in it. He reckons they can't play.
Wow.
He said Essendon are miles to win the comp. And look out for the Adelaide Crows. That's what I've gleaned. I might have mixed that up a little bit, but it's been fabulous. I mean, it's a beautiful day driving through the Blue Mountains, you know, Medlow Bath. We just went past the Hydro Majestic, and I kid you not, that was where my parents spent their first wedding night.
There you go.
Back in the early days. So what a beautiful place. And, you know, Blackheath, Lura, Medlow Bath, Mount Victoria. It's pretty special.
So I'll ask you this, true or false, will you have been driving Corbin insane with the historical knowledge you have of some of these towns that you're driving through?
Yes, and we were going past the Kapiti Valley, and I said, you know, that half the species of Australian birds are found in a national park in there. You know what his reply was? I don't like birds. I said, well, okay.
Or tigers, apparently.
He likes wombats. And they're dead all on the side of the road. Roadkill everywhere.
Yes. Well, that says a lot about our friend Corbin Middlemass. All right, let's start with a game you were at on Sunday. St George Illawarra remains a standalone on top of the table, and they did it with a couple of great second-half tries against Canberra. What did you make of it?
Yeah, a couple of pieces of individual brilliance. Matt Duffy, Gareth Hood, very good. Ben Hunt bounced back. It wasn't their best performance, but after a loss the week before against South Sydney, they needed to win, and they could easily have lost that game, but it was a game where they showed some poise when it was needed. They were helped, you know, with Jordan Rapana being sent to the sin bin. That was ridiculous what he did. So St George Illawarra, they're the real deal. They'll be thereabouts coming into the competition. And the good news for St George Illawarra is they keep picking the same 13.
Yep.
They don't have any injuries.
Yep.
I mean, many of the other sides have been affected by injuries, but they've got the continuity of that. And I like the way Paul McGregor's handling things. He might have been a little bit anxious last year if they lost a couple or things weren't going their way, but he seems to be a lot cooler, a lot more relaxed. I think that flows onto the players. On the other side of the coin, Andrew, is Canberra. They just know how to lose a game. They've led four or five games by 8 points this year and have been beaten. They're a good football side. They can do some really good things, but, gee, they can do some dumb things. They do things that are coach killers every game.
Even their jersey was dumb. They're the green machine, not the grey machine.
Exactly.
Feel better now. Now, look, you play Gibbsy in an era where Biffo was a pretty regular occurrence. We don't see it anymore until Saturday night in Melbourne. What did you make of the send-off, the sin binnings, the early return from the sin bins, and the fact that Curtis Scott faces only a two-game suspension?
Yeah, well, look, he's injured the player, and that should be taken into account. I don't subscribe to the theory of an eye for an eye, but it seems pretty light, doesn't it, when he he launches, a combination that Jeff Horn would be proud of when he fights Terence Crawford. If he throws him like that, it might be some hope. But he's going to get 2 weeks. We have Dylan Walker, who's got a fractured eye socket. For the life of me, Andrew, out of all of that, why was Dylan Walker sin bin?
We still don't know the answer.
At some stage, you have to defend yourself. You know what I mean? I can say, oh, well, he threw a punch. He half by put his arm up in defence of himself. At some stage, when you're under siege and you're being hit with a barrage of punches, you've got to react.
And he was egging Curtis Scott on. He's even admitted that on his own Instagram. But you don't get sin bin for that.
No. But, and Abby Coruscant is facing, approximately half for what he did to Curtis Scott. It just seems to be inequitable. Look, if they're going to send them off, I don't mind it. It was a bizarre weekend. We saw some of the most incredible things going back to Friday night. See, I think Dylan Napa should have been penalised. Yeah. I don't have a problem with him being penalised because that was a careless act that endangered a fellow player with his head. Now, you can argue the merits whether it was accidental or not. I don't care. He's got a responsibility to look after the opposition player. Corbin Sims has got a broken jaw. But why was he sin bid? Why do they leave themselves open? They just do some really silly things, the referees. And I think they're under pressure. I think everything that's happening around them, they're under pressure. And then you have it compounded by what you were talking about a little while ago about the players coming early out of the sin bin. Well, not just early, like nearly 2 minutes. How does that happen? And there's two of them. And one came on before the other, yet they go off and should have been coming back on at the same time.
I couldn't agree more. And unfortunately, after giving the illusion of being transparent through the opening part of the year, yesterday and Saturday, nothing from the NRL.
There's nothing they can say, Andrew, because whatever they say is going to look ridiculous.
Yes.
So silence is probably the best option.
Manly, your old club, 2 big wins in a row after 5 straight losses. That playing group must have some character because they were in free fall and now they've knocked over Brisbane in Brisbane and Melbourne in Melbourne.
And really good wins, both of them, even though that game in Brisbane was a home game technically. But the thing about it is, even in the game against Newcastle, which Corb and I also did, they showed plenty of effort in that game, but their game management was poor. They should have won that game. The next week against the Roosters, they were very good. They really had a dig. So it was just a matter, and I'm sure this is what was, this was a message that was relayed to them by the coaching staff. They just had to keep up that attitude and that effort, and things would turn. And lo and behold, things have turned. It was an ordinary performance by Melbourne, but Melbourne without Cameron Smith is like, Corbin without a navigator.
Well, on that note, Gibbsy, I'll let you go and explain the facts of life to Corbin for the rest of your journey. Thanks for the weekend wrap.
Bye-bye.
Tries of the week.
Referee will have a look and awards the try.
Some beauties over the weekend. In Thursday night football, Penrith winger Tyrone Phillips flew through the air over David Norfoluma to score the Panthers' second try in the win over West Tigers.
West Tigers are holding on by the skin on their chinny-chin-chin. Katoa, Maloney, lofted ball. Phillips flies through the air over the top of Norfoluma, like you occasionally see a running back in the NFL over the defensive line to score.
Parramatta remains last after going down to the Warriors, but lock Manu Ma'u continued his great form and scored a barnstorming 4-pointer. Sends it out to the right to Terapo, then got a pass to Manu Ma'u, and he's rewarded for his bullocking runs all night. Manu Ma'u crashes over. Brisbane scored 2 late tries to beat the Sydney Roosters 28-22 in a great, albeit another controversial game at Lang Park. First off, this perler from James Roberts.
Passes to the left for Roberts. Goes on a lateral run. Gets a bit of space down the right end. James Roberts over halfway to the 30. Weaves in field over the 20. Oh, what a try. What a try from the Jets. From nothing, James Roberts has lit up Lang Park.
Oh, my God.
And then Jermaine Asako was looking for a game-winning field goal, but he did much better than simply kicking a one-pointer.
They're going to pass back to Asako. Rushed at, weaves around one, doesn't pull the trigger. Dummies, has to run himself, puts on the burners, beats two tacklers, will score a try! Will score a try! Brisbane in front!
Gold Coast scored a great win over Newcastle at Robina Stadium and themselves scored some great tries, but nothing like the 100-plus metre job scored by night sensation Kalyn Ponga.
Runs it out from his own line, gets it to Ponga. Ponga spots some space. Oh. And he's got some space in front of him. There's no one going to stop that Ponga. He's
over
the 40, over the 30, over the 20, over the 10. He puts it down. He put on the afterburners and they couldn't catch Kalyn Ponga.
In form, South hooker Damien Cook's got a great try in the Rabbitohs' 20-19 win over North Queensland in Townsville.
Cook scoots, finds a big gap. He gets away from the fullback and he's under the post. Oh, that's wonderful football. And Damien Cook has scored a fine try for South Sydney.
By the way, Cook also showed his class by being the first player to console Cowboys hooker Jake Granville, who gave away the 80th minute penalty, which cost his team the game. In Melbourne, a tryless first half saw the Storm and Manly go into the sheds at 2-2 before all hell broke loose in the second half. The first try was scored by Seagulls winger Matthew Wright from a Daly Cherry Evans kick.
Cleaned up by Fanua Blake, back to Cherry Evans, saw nowhere to go, so he wants to boot it over the touchline. The ball stays in the field of play. Diving through for Manly is Wright. Is that a try? Matthew Wright, full stretch. Gets to the footy, left-handed, puts it down for a try.
St George Illawarra managed a 25-18 win over Canberra in beautiful Mudgee. The Dragons scored two tries in the second half, both screamers. Firstly, a sensational team effort finished off by Gareth Widdop.
A run from McInnes out of dummy half, links up with DeBellin. DeBellin through the middle of the park, out to his right to Dufty. Dufty puts the chip kick into the end goal area, picked up by Widdop, who scores the try. Beautiful team footy from St George Illawarra.
And then my next guest, Matt Dufty, showed off his speed with this brilliant individual effort.
Widdop heads out to the left. This is Dufty. Dufty, a little jinky run, finds a hole. Dufty over the 30, over the 20. Can he beat the fullback? Whiteney does. Pass Croker. Dufty perhaps with a match winner. What a superb try from Matt Dufty.
Cronulla made it five wins in a row with a hard-fought 22-16 win over Canterbury. While Josh Morris managed his 100th try for the Bulldogs before getting injured, young Sharks setter Jesse Ramian scored a solo try with some great speed, strength and evasion.
Sends it right, Townsend. Nice pass out the back, Ramian. But he comes across field, got away from Martin. Away from another, he scores!
Wow.
Brilliantly done, Jesse Ramian. Well, he might feel he owed the mono for a defensive lapse in the first half. But he gets it back for his team, and how? Jesse Ramian being mobbed by his teammates. Brilliant footwork and strength, and Cronulla's back in front.
The recovery.
All right, let's look at a nasty injury toll from the weekend, Ralph Tucker. And, well, let's start with the injury to Corbin Sims, the Brisbane prop.
This segment seems to be getting longer each week.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
Corbin Sims, broken jaw from that controversial Dylan Napa tackle. He's had surgery, will miss 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I remember back in the day, a broken jaw used to be almost the season, but 4 to 6 weeks seems unbelievable.
Yeah, see, broken jaw to me, 12 weeks pops into my head. They're incredible. Apart from the physical rehabilitation, the mental strength it must take, I don't get it, but that's why I admire these guys so much. Dylan Walker?
Yeah, suffered that fractured eye socket after being belted by Curtis Scott. They're saying 6 weeks for Dylan Walker on the sidelines, and sort of as we discussed earlier, the penalty doesn't seem to fit the crime with all of that.
The season and possibly career of Parramatta's Beau Scott appears over.
Yeah, 14-year career with St George Illawarra, Newcastle, Parramatta, New South Wales. ACL on, when was that? That was Friday night against the Warriors. Remarkably, walked off the ground as if there wasn't any problem, but there clearly was. So he faces a bit of a weight in terms of the decision, what he has to make in terms of his career because he's off contract at the end of the year.
Often you hear players tell the story when they've done an ACL, the pain is not immense. But then, so they do get to their feet. They know something's wrong, but there's just no strength there at all. Look, plenty of other significant injuries. Go.
Yeah, North Queensland prop, Matt Scott, MCL. Original sort of prognosis there was 4 to 6 weeks, but there's now some talk that he may play this week. So, again, one of those ones that we've been trying to forecast injuries all year. We haven't got a lot of them right, but essentially it just proves how good these guys are in terms of their rehabilitation. South forward Sam Burgess, a glute strain, 1 to 3 weeks. Again, they're saying possibility of playing this week. Fullback Alex Johnson, 2 to 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. Jacob Saifidi, a fractured shoulder, that's 10 to 12 weeks. I can't even imagine the pain that goes along with that. Brock Lamb, fractured cheekbone, 4 weeks. Josh Morris from the Bulldogs, hyperextended that knee. That just looked completely awful. They're not ruling out MCL or ACL at this stage, so scans will determine how long he'll be out
for. He looked in an enormous amount of pain too. And he played on for a few minutes after halftime.
Oh, not a few minutes, like 20 minutes. He played on with. And then, obviously, as Dean Halitau was explaining to me on the sideline, they go in the sheds. He sort of
cools down,
and then the injury sort of blows up. So it looks like a few weeks on the sidelines for Josh Morris after scoring a try.
Now it's time for Weekend Weirdness. What was that about?
Most of the weirdness happened on the field, to be honest. So a couple of other moments from our broadcasts on ABC Grandstand. On Thursday night, it was the unofficial Cleary Cup. Panthers halfback Nathan Cleary getting the better of his dad, West Tigers coach Ivan Cleary. But we also had the battle of the Watney Jelezniak brothers, Dallin from Penrith, Malachi from the Tigers, and it was driving Matthew Elliott nuts.
Take a bow, Dallin.
Watney loses the ball before the try line. We have a decision.
And his brother Malachi for the tackle as well.
Yes, well, it was Malachi I meant to...
I tried to save you there.
Yeah, no.
Penrith prop Trent Merrin is always great to speak with, and the Panthers on Thursday night did a massive American-style on-field announcement that Josh Mansour had re-signed for another 3 years. It tickled Trent's funny bone.
It's like he's the first player that's ever re-signed at a club, so the boys have been getting into him. They've done a video collage of him, and, mate, it's never ending. It's a week-long celebration.
Well, what about the way it was done? It was real American style, wasn't it? Done with Gus Gould making the dramatic announcement and then Josh on the screen with the announcement, followed by the on-field interview. It was huge.
Mate, you can imagine all the fuck he's getting now. Everyone's getting into him, and it's been the laugh. It'll continue too. We just keep taking the piss out of him.
Yeah, but I suggest what you do is you get your own little bit of footage, and during the training session one time when you're on doing your captain session, get them to flash it up there and... you know, make some sort of fabulous announcement about you're going to shout Josh a coffee or something. I think the players would love that, mate.
He wouldn't shout it for sharpening him, Josh, so don't worry about that.
And Julian Abbott, a more professional studio host you will not find. A great voice, great knowledge of sport, great timing, a brilliant support for us at the grounds. Now, during the weekend broadcast, it's Julian who provides around the ground scores and updates, and he does it so well. Through the week, he's a very credible newsman in Canberra. And on Saturday night, he was updating much more than just the AFL and Super Rugby scores.
In the AFL, it's a half-time at the SCG tonight. Sydney 46, leading Fremantle 13. Other game at Docklands tonight. Half-time there as well at St Kilda 49, leading Collingwood 48. It's half-time in the rugby tonight as well. New South Wales 15, the Highlanders nil. Harry's in the church, or the chapel.
Nice update.
In the AFL at the SCG at Sydney 72, leading Fremantle 21. Other game at Docklands tonight. Collingwood in front 73-56. In the rugby, it is New South Wales 29, leading the Highlanders 12. Harry's almost a putteenth away from being off the market. In the AFL at the SCG in the fourth quarter there at Sydney 72, Fremantle 22. And the other game at Docklands, Collingwood 85, leading St Kilda 63. And the rugby, a conversion to come for the Waratahs there, leading the Highlanders 41 points to 12 at the wedding. I'm too emotional.
Okay, will you just take a tissue? Well, Matt Dufty was the name on everyone's lips after St George Illawarra managed a 25-18 win over Canberra in Mudgee on Sunday. He had a great game all round, and as we've already heard, Matt scored a thrilling solo try that sealed the win for the Dragons. He's quick. He's also on the line. G'day, Matt. How are you going?
Hey, guys. How are you going? Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Mate, congrats on your start to the season, and you've had some wonderful individual moments, but was that your best personal 80 minutes of the year, do you reckon?
It was a bit of a roller coaster game for me yesterday. I had a few errors. The game was swinging back and forth, but probably the best second half I've played all year to date.
Well, Paul McGregor addressed that after the game and said
he admired the way you bounced back from a couple of mistakes in that first half. And, you know, for us watching in the stands, it must be a difficult thing to do just to keep your head up and not lament any drop balls or any mistakes that you do make.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something I had to work on coming from 20s to first grade, you know, because everyone makes mistakes, but you just got to let it go, or you can't let it put you down. Or...
Well, it's how you respond to them, isn't it?
Yeah. Or you can't play bad footy because one mistake can cost you games.
Regional games have been a tremendous success throughout New South Wales and Queensland this year. How did you find the Mudgee experience?
Yeah, I love Mudgee. You know, we went there for Charity Shield and we packed out the stadium, and we went there again yesterday and there was 9,000 fans, and it feels like there's 80,000 in a small stadium like that, and the atmosphere is unreal and all the fans get behind it and everyone in Mudgee is so welcoming, and it's just a great place to go.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I couldn't be there yesterday, but being in Tamworth and Bathurst, very similar experiences. So back to the game. Canberra went with you for the most part, and they were left lamenting a lack of discipline after the game. So were you pleased then with how your team held it together over those final 20 minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, coming from last year to this year, we probably would have lost that game last year, but this year everyone keeps a cool head with Gareth and Ben steering the ship, and I think our discipline's something we've been working on, and to win a game where you're not playing your best footy, it's very pleasing.
Yeah, well, they're often the most important wins, aren't they, to get away with them when you're not at your best. And as you referred to, you started so well last year but fell away to miss the finals. No signs of that this year. But how important was it for you to bounce back after losing the previous week to South?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's just a mindset, and you got to get back training, see what you did wrong and try and fix it in that week of training. I think we've been really good because all the boys buy into what the coaches say. We've got to work on that week, and it's working well for us at the moment.
Well, 9 wins from 11 games. Who's been the best team you've played so far?
Probably the Warriors over there in Auckland. That was a pretty physical game, and they were up for the challenge. And
their defence was ridiculously good that night, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we played good footy that night too, so that was probably the best team we've played so far this year.
You've been up for 3 big games recently. That was one of them in Auckland. The game we're at Kogarah against the Melbourne Storm. And you've got another huge game this Saturday night. It's another top-of-the-table clash against Penrith. What do you make of the Panthers? They just keep on winning.
Yeah, I know. It's first versus second. And I think every team in the NRL, you've got to be up for it or you can lose games. But it'll be a big challenge this Saturday because Panthers have been playing great footy, and it'll be a test to see where we're at.
So many informed players at your club this year, Matt. I mean, you could have up to 7 players involved in Origin, not to mention the likes of James Graham and Gareth Widdop, who'll be picked to play in Denver for England against New Zealand, possibly Jason Nightingale for the Kiwis. So wins in the bank at this point, very welcome, aren't they? Because it could be a tough middle of the year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you hear all the top teams for the last 5 or 10 years say the Origin periods where they've got to win some games. And anyone who gets picked for Origin in our team, we've got 6 or 7. Any of them will do the job, you know. They've all been in crew best footy, and they deserve to get picked. And Gareth and James definitely deserve to get picked for England. So I think it'll be a real test for us coming up next couple of months, and I think all the boys are up for it.
2 more questions and I'll let you go, man. I appreciate your time today after a game. You guys seem loose off the field. You seem a really happy mob, and we've heard about the bus and players having to get the train, all this stuff. We tried to get hold of you or Paul Vaughan on Thursday to be told Paul can't speak because someone's pinched his mobile. You guys are having some fun.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's an important thing with footy. You know, you got to have the fun off the field, and it shows on the field. Paul got his keys, wallet, and phone stolen. Well, not stolen, I shouldn't say taken. Just one of the boys playing a joke, you know. And
just borrowed.
Yeah, borrowed. He got it back before we went to Mudgee, so he was all happy. But, yeah, stuff like that, it just keeps the boys tight. And we're having fun off the field and having fun on the field. So it's a good mix at the moment.
Well, that's the thing. It shows, doesn't it, on the field. And finally, we ask all our guests on a Monday, the show is Cool Winning Starts on Monday. What does Monday involve for Matt Dufty, the day after a game?
We were originally meant to have recovery today, but we've got the day off because today I'll probably just walk my dog and go to Brekkie. That's about it.
Walk the dog, go to Brekkie. Sounds like a nice way to spend a Monday, especially after a great performance like that with that wonderful try near the end of the game. Well done, Matt Dufty. Congrats on your start to the season, particularly performance against Canberra, and can't wait to call that game on Saturday night against Penrith. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. The week ahead.
Okay, to the week ahead, Dean Halitau is a member of the ABC Grandstand Rugby League team, a former Tiger, Bulldog and Kiwi. G'day, Dino. How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I'm all right. I'm still recovering from the events of the weekend. It was maniacal, wasn't it?
Drama-filled, I think the word is. It was plenty going on, lots of sin bins, lots of good individual tries. I really enjoyed some of the tries that we've seen from just some individual athleticism and skill. So plenty to see and plenty to talk about.
You've got a lot of work to do fixing things up at the NRL this week. No pressure on you, Dino, but there's a bit for you to fix. A, you've got to get some stopwatches that work for ground officials. So if you can tick that off the box today, that would be great. If you get your bosses to speak publicly about things that happen on the weekend, that would be great. If we can tick that one off. I don't know what else. There was a lot of stuff over the weekend that you need to fix. So is that going to mean a busy day for you?
It might be. I'll start out making a list up and see if I can get through it by the end of the week.
Yeah, well, if you do it with a pen and pad, you might need two pens. Now, in terms of looking at big games over the weekend, Saturday it is the Grouse. 5:30, you've got Warriors taking on South in Auckland. And then 7:30, the top of the table clash with St George Illawarra and Penrith doing battle at Panthers Stadium. So the top four teams are all in action in the space of 4 hours, which will be fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be great. Obviously, all four teams probably have surprised everyone about where they're at this year. And I don't think many would have expected the Warriors to be in third position, but they find themselves around the back of just some really consistent performances. I know we've had a couple of solid losses, which are a bit of a anomaly, but apart from that, they've been really good. So, yeah, Saturday's looking really good evening of viewing.
Yes, and listening, of course. Right here, you'll be with me at the Penrith game, and we're getting ever closer to State of Origin selections, Dean. And this is basically the last weekend for players to impress. So it's going to be a huge game for Nathan Cleary and James Maloney against the Dragons, isn't it, among others?
Yeah, it is. And obviously, Nathan Cleary coming back from a decent layoff with that medial injury, he showed last week that he's still confident. It didn't seem to hamper him at all, and his kicking game is still strong. He dived on some loose balls that probably you'd be nervous about coming back from an injury, but he definitely showed plenty. And Maloney, we all thought, was locked in for one of those positions, but there's been a few murmurs that maybe he's not. I don't know if that's just people making up some chat just to keep things interesting, but it will be interesting to see both those guys go around and see if they can stake a claim for those 7 and 6 jerseys.
Yeah, well, as we've heard again on this podcast, Brad Fittler, quite public in his concerns about James Maloney's defence, so that is going to be interesting, no doubt about it. And I spoke to Greg Alexander on the weekend, who said he spoke to Nathan Cleary the day after they beat Wests, and Cleary said to him, which I find incredible after being out with 7 weeks with that knee injury, that really he didn't even think about it through the game. He got a bit of a shove after his first kick hit the deck, and it was only minutes later he thought, oh, okay, that's fine, no problem. So it shows a bit of intestinal fortitude, apart from, you know, the fact he's a very strong chap.
Yeah, definitely. And the interesting thing is when he's obviously it's his non-kicking leg, so people make a point of the fact that he can still kick the ball with his good leg, but he's got to rest his weight on that other leg. That's his balance leg when he is kicking. So for him to say he didn't really think about it, definitely shows the type of bloke that he is.
And it is the vulnerable leg when you're getting tackled as you kick the ball. Does Kalyn Ponga make the Queensland team?
Look, I think it's going to be very hard to leave him out, if not in the 17 at least, at number 18. The replacement for Cameron Smith's going to probably dictate how they use or if they use Kalyn Ponga. I guess if they look to play Ben Hunt at 9, then that opens up another spot in the halves, and then effectively could bring Morgan to the starting team and Kalyn on the bench. But he's definitely showing that he's capable of play at that level. For him to sort of weather the attention that's come with the big contract this year and perform the way he has, I think he shows he's ready for the big stage. And I'd love to see him there. I mentioned the individual tries from last weekend, and he was one of those guys with that long-range one where he just sliced through the Gold Coast Titans and went for, was it 95 metres or so. So I think he'll be there in the 17, pending number 9 selection.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable to me. Dean Halitau, thanks for taking a look at the week ahead. I'll see you at the footy.
See you there, mate.
The NRL table after round 11 has St George Illawarra on 18 points, Penrith and the Warriors on 16, with Souths now fourth on 14 points, then Cronulla up to fifth on 14, Melbourne, Sydney Roosters and West Tigers on 12. There's your top eight. Then Brisbane ninth on 12 points, Newcastle with 10, Canberra, Manly and Gold Coast on 8, Canterbury and North Queensland 6 points and Parramatta back on 4. To round 12. Thursday night, we'll see Brisbane play Parramatta at Lang Park. Friday night at 6 p.m, it's Canberra playing Manly at Canberra Stadium. And then North Queensland plays Melbourne at Townsville Stadium. Saturday at 3 p.m, the Sydney Roosters face the Gold Coast at Central Coast Stadium. And 5:30, it's the Warriors against Souths in Auckland. That should be a great game. Likewise, at 7:30, Penrith hosting St George Illawarra. So the top four teams all doing battle back-to-back. You'll have it here, it all covered on ABC Radio. Well, on Sunday at 2 p.m, Newcastle takes on Cronulla at Hunter Stadium. And after 4 o'clock, West's Tigers play Canterbury at the Olympic Stadium. To the tips, Ralph Tucker. I was ahead by 4. We disagreed on 3 games over the weekend. All 3 went to moi. So, mate, 4 plus 3 equals 7. I lead you by 7 with 14 rounds left.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time? Well, allow me to say this. Giddy up. Let's get to the tips then. Thursday night, you're so hopeless at this, I'll let you go first. Brisbane and Parramatta at Lang Park.
Brisbane.
Okay, Brisbane to win. I agree with you. Brisbane to win that game. Then Friday night, Canberra and Manly at Canberra Stadium. Manly on a bit of a streak. Canberra back-to-back losses, but it'll be a chilly night at home.
Canberra.
Canberra. Well, you said that confidently. I'm going to say 3 out of 3 for Manly. So there's our first point of difference. Then North Queensland plays Melbourne at Townsville Stadium.
I think Melbourne have to bounce back in this one.
I agree with you, especially with Cameron Smith back from suspension, possibly Jesse Bromwich, because they have really missed Jesse Bromwich up the middle. Saturday, 3 p.m, Sydney Roosters, Gold Coast at Central Coast Stadium.
Sydney Roosters for mine.
Sydney Roosters for mine. And then these two huge games, 5:30, Warriors, Souths in Auckland. I'm going to tip Souths.
I'm going with the home side, Warriors.
Okay. And then 7:30, Penrith and St George Illawarra will be there for that one at Panthers Stadium. I'm tipping Dragons.
Should be a cracker. I also like St George Illawarra.
Okay. And then on Sunday, Newcastle hosting Cronulla. Gosh, with those injuries you ran through for Newcastle, you have to tip Cronulla. Luke Lewis will be back too for the Sharks.
Cronulla.
All right. We're both there. And West Tigers Canterbury will be there at the Olympic Stadium on Sunday.
I'm going for Canterbury.
Again?
Yes.
Okay. Is that just because you love them, or is it...
I'm loyal.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll tip the West Tigers to beat Canterbury on Sunday.
We'll see how we go.
I lead by 7. Thank you, Ralph. Thanks to all of you for listening. We appreciate it. My thanks to Matt Dufty, John Gibbs, Dean Hallitau, my producer, Ralph Tucker, and Ned Hall for piecing this together, and thank you for taking time out to listen. I'm Andrew Moore. I hope you do have a great week, but remember, winning starts on Monday.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week for Winning Starts on Monday.